Life just got a little better, thanks to Mary Man Ernst.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for informational and educational purposes only. You should always consult a qualified healthcare practitioner for all of your healthcare needs.
Hello, this is Mike King with Mary Man Herbs. It's a Better Life Show. And again, today we have with us Cheryl Myers. She's the International Chief of Scientific Affairs and Education. I've always promoted her to international because Europharma sells their products throughout the world. And I know she does education for the company, so she's international. Hi, how are you doing today, Cheryl?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Thank you for the promotion there,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, I always do that. I don't know if I've told Terry that yet or not. One of these days I'll let him know what I do with the show here. You should secretly let him listen. Just turn it on sometime.
Maybe.
And secretly have him listen to it. Or maybe not. Maybe he won't let you do it anymore. I don't know.
Well, you know, and it is, there is truth to that. And it is true that our products are sold internationally.
Yes.
And it is true that I have acted as a scientific resource and done international presentations. So, you know, I'll take it. International head of instead of just head of. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome. Thank
you.
We're going to be talking about not just ginseng, HRG80, red ginseng. We've got basically, you've got two products. They're brand new. We just got them in the store the other day, and it's a new product that I know you've been working on, your company's been working on for quite a while. One is for energy, and one is for ED, men's libido. So we'll start with the basic core product for everyone, and that's the red ginseng. Tell me a little bit about the history of ginseng, and then what makes this red ginseng so special.
Well, red ginseng, first off, there's more than one thing that's called ginseng.
Yes.
There's Panax kinkifolis, and that is American ginseng.
Okay.
That is not Asian ginseng. They're two different plants. They're cousins. They're in the same family. But
different species. Right.
They're different plants.
They're yes.
Different plants. Even though it still has the name, even though we call it American ginseng.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an herb called Eleutherococcus sentacoccus, which used to be called Siberian
ginseng, yes.
And Eleuthero is not even in the ginseng family. Mm. They just called it that because people equate ginseng with energy, and Eleuthero is a good supportive adaptogen, so they started calling it Siberian ginseng. That's not even ginseng. So what we're talking about that has the true lengthy history for medicinal applications is called Panax ginseng or Asian ginseng, or sometimes they call it Korean ginseng because
okay.
a lot of the early harvesting was done in Korea. Now, this is the true ginseng.
Okay.
It's been in use for over 5,000 years.
Wow.
They have found documents from early Chinese medical practitioners where they were talking about this wonderful medicinal plant, that it was the most valuable medicine that they had to offer. For a while, ginseng was only available to the nobles, the noble class in China,
mm-hmm.
because it was so desired. It was used, you know, we think about it now for some of our modern health issues, but at the time it was used for recuperation, for recovery,
okay.
for strength, stamina, energy, and for longevity. It was the herb of longevity.
You know, I remember when ginseng first came out 100 years ago when I was in the herb business. That was one of the first really phenomenal herbs, adaptogenic herb, and I'm going to give a little definition in that and when I can put that in the show here in a minute. But I remember reading somewhere where if you had a cup of ginseng tea every day, you'd live to be 200. I know that was hype, but definitely it will make you live a long time. And I don't know when it would be a good time to talk about adaptogens, because ginseng is a true adaptogen. Can I go ahead and get into that and then I can let you finish?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Back in 1947, Israel Beckman, a Russian scientist, was the first one to outline adaptogens. And adaptogens, of course, are those herbs that help you to adapt to stress and to the environment. But there's four true definitions for an adaptogen, and ginseng is one of them. I think there's only seven herbs now that are scientifically, legally classified. They're doing more studies there, because we always talk about adaptogenic tonic herbs, but they're not true scientifically validated. But ginseng is one of these, and it has to increase the body's ability to cope with internal and external stresses. That's one of the things. The second thing, it has to exhibit stimulating effects after both single-time use and prolonged use, leading to increased working capacity and mental performance under stressful and fatigue-inducing conditions. Number three, it has to normalize the functions of the body. And number four, it has to be entirely safe and have no negative side effects. So that's what makes ginseng a true adaptogen. But you have something even more advanced than that, than just the regular ginseng. So I'll let you proceed.
All right. So when we look at the history of ginseng,
mm-hmm.
thousands of years of medicinal use. When we fast forward to, it was named in the 1800s by a famous botanist, Panax ginseng. Panax from the word panacea, meaning good for everything.
Yeah.
There started to be some research, even though Marco Polo, in all of his adventuring, did bring
Marco.
Back.
Yeah, I got to have the Tourette's here. Marco.
Yes.
Please say Polo.
Yeah, Polo.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. I'm okay now.
All righty.
Okay.
Brought back ginseng from his trips. There was also a huge exposition in the 1700s with Louis XIV, where they had an embassy from China, and Louis XIV tried ginseng for the first time and found it a most marvelous experience. And so all of a sudden people started to be interested in all the things that the mysterious Orient was able to supply. And they, because back then, of course, we didn't have airplanes and trucks and, engine-powered boats. So it took a very long time to move these commodities back and forth between countries. But when we fast forward to the 1900s, when we get to like 50, 60, 70, we start to see Russia becoming incredibly interested in using ginseng for stamina, strength, and endurance. They had experiments that they did with using it in their cosmonaut training.
That's what I was thinking. So, that and the rhodiola is another one, which is adaptogen. There was a lot of research with that. I remember that. They wanted to find something that had no negative side effects that would help the cosmonauts stay alert, not fatigued, not jittery, and just, make them feel 20 years younger,
And to help protect them from the rigors of space travel.
Right.
And then they also started to use it in their athletic training program.
Mm.
So when to help with strength and stamina, endurance, and the kinds of things that athletes are seeing.
For the Olympics, right. Yeah, I think
Nadia
Comaneci. Yeah, maybe that's why she drank her ginseng every day.
Maybe she did.
Yeah.
But whatever the case may be, because of all of these successes, then because of Russia taking it so seriously, we started to see in the 1970s it coming into the United States health market. Many people consider it the herb that launched the dietary supplement industry.
Yeah.
There were always herbs on the market and traditional use of herbs, but seeking out a supplement that you didn't grow in your backyard or your neighbor didn't grow was a new thing. And ginseng really rose to high levels of popularity. There were articles about it in the New York Times for its ability for strength and stamina, for mental focus, for memory, and yes, indeed, for erectile dysfunction or to help support a healthy sex life as well. So when we look at ginseng, unfortunately, it was loved to death because the ginseng that first entered the market, ginseng grows in the wild. It grows in the forest. It's a plant that's developed to grow alongside of trees. And the longer it stays in the ground, the more powerful it becomes. So the older it gets, the more powerful it becomes. Wild ginseng is so over-harvested that it went from endangered species in 2000 to being virtually non-existent today.
Yeah.
So what do they do to fulfill this demand? Because now they've introduced ginseng around the world and people are crazy and for it. And
it works.
Awesome.
They love it.
They had to start doing ginseng cultivation. They started to grow it in field. This is not a plant that was ever meant to be grown in fields.
No, it doesn't like that. Nope.
So what they had to do, and this is where it gets to the dark part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to make a commercial crop, ginseng has to grow in forest soil. So they would cut down the forest. Plant the ginseng, and then they had to put canopies over it. Ginseng cultivation in China is so massive that you can see these tarps that they put over these huge fields of ginseng from outer space.
From the satellites. Wow.
They're satellite photos from NASA of ginseng. It's just amazingly huge because it's so popular and there's such a high demand in Asia, in Europe, in the United States, North America. It's the demand just was such that they were willing to do anything in order to produce a product.
Sure.
The problem is when you are growing a crop that you have to be in the ground at least 6 or 7 years. Remember when I said the older it gets, the stronger it gets.
Right, and you better not be using any herbicides, fungicides, pesticides because they're heavy metals because it's like big fish, that'll all accumulate massively.
Well, that's true, but that's all they could do to assure a crop. Because they could only harvest it once every 6 or 7 years. They couldn't take the chance that insects would destroy their crop.
Yeah, and it's kind of prone to that, I think, too.
And molds and fungi because it's a root crop.
Right.
So they would literally soak these plants and pesticides, fungicides, herbicides. They would soak these plants so that they are one of the most contaminated herbs in the world.
I don't want that. Cheryl. Can you do something about that for me? I don't want that. I bet your company's figured out a way.
Yes, we have, but I have to just share one more thing.
Sure.
because I thought that this is something that shocked me. Uh-huh. China, researchers in China tested 80 ginseng samples collected from places, from products that were sold around the world and found in these 80, 246 different pesticides.
Oh, my goodness.
So that means they're not just using one.
Right.
They're using combination.
Oh, my goodness.
To make sure that they are, including 78% of the samples had a fungicide that's widely used in China that's not even allowed in the United States.
Oh, no.
So now we're dealing with this product that, you know, originally had
was
a great deal
awesome,
of,
right.
Yes, a great deal of medicinal power. Now it's weaker because you're not going to get 20-year-old ginseng anymore.
No.
And it's completely contaminated with pesticide residue.
Well, there's got to be a way to do it better.
Yes, and so, yes, that's a nice segue, and thank you for helping me move to this new system that was developed in Belgium, Europe and Belgium.
Okay.
By an agronomist, a PhD-level agronomist, and his partners. Took him 7 years to develop this process. He thought, ginseng is so amazing. How can we grow it clean? So they developed a hydroponic system.
Okay,
and
cool.
And it's called, it's not just hydroponic, it's in vertical stacks. So remember when I said that ginseng grows in, they have to cut down the forest to grow the ginseng?
Correct.
Once you've grown ginseng in a soil, because it does pull the nutrients out of the soil, you can't plant the ginseng in the same field for 10 to 15 years. So you have to go to a new area, cut down another forest, and plant more ginseng. So it's just the toll that it takes on its footprint.
The environment,
on the earth is ridiculous. This growing it hydroponically and in stacks, which means vertical stacks, they have a 50-to-1 ratio, meaning that let's say that their growing facility is 10,000 square feet. That's 50 times smaller than the amount of land that it would take to try to grow this amount of ginseng. So,
okay, yeah, I've seen that with the hydroponic, even vegetables and stuff. They're starting to do that now.
So one of the brilliant things that they do is they provide the plant with perfect nutrition.
Oh,
because they've
sure.
studied the plant and they know exactly what it needs. It's grown indoors in these clean situations, so they have zero use of pesticides, fungicides, herbicides.
Oh, awesome.
But the next thing they do is what is so brilliant. This is part of the proprietary process that makes them so unique. The plant does not develop active medicinal compounds called ginsenosides unless the plant is exposed to stress. And so they have tested over 300 different stressors that cause the plant stress so that the stress builds up these medicinal compounds and developed a system of a subset of those.
Wow.
That they expose the plant to periodically and in a certain order that develops the highest possible amount of ginsenosides within the plant.
You know, that's true in nature, Cheryl. I mean, most botanicals, when they're stressed, when there's a drought, when there's high heat or low light, the plant develops protective agents, which is what we can use. I just figure myself of like going into that greenhouse situation and just yelling nasty words to all the plants and really stressing them out and telling them how bad they are and everything. That's how. But it's not really that. I don't think it's that. But that develops. You know, when we do with in the fragrance industry where there's essential oils and so forth, and even with like the saffron and all of those kind of things, the botanicals, the stress, the environmental stress makes the plant more medicinally potent. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
You know, when I'm talking to patients, or when I'd give an example, I say, if you sit me on a couch and you give me perfect nutrition, I'm just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'll get bigger faster because you're giving me perfect nutrition to make me grow.
Yeah.
But when you ask me to come help you lift something heavy, I probably won't be able to get off the couch because I don't have any muscle. But if you put me on a couch and you give me perfect nutrition to get bigger every single day, and then you attack me, like you send in a ninja to jump on me every other day and I have to fight off the ninja,
sure.
By golly, I'm going to start to
develop. You'd be pretty tough.
I'm going to develop some muscles.
Yes, you are.
When you need me to come help you lift something, I'm going to have lots of muscle. So that's what we need in the plants. The plants need to create their muscles, and they don't do that unless they have these kinds of exposures.
That's a great analogy. Yes,
so
I love that.
So by simulating these stressors, by using changes in pH and the growing solution, changes in light, even changes in sound, by doing these different kinds of exposures, they are able to control it so that the compounds are created, the muscles get stronger, but they don't actually harm the plant. And so for the first time in decades and decades and decades, we're able to provide a ginseng that is clean without pesticide or fungicide residue that is the equivalent of 20-year-old wild harvest.
Wow. So I'm sure like DART, digital analysis, real time, or the testing of the constituents, they could actually see, you know, what's going on. You know, you're probably testing standardization, testing for certain things now. So you're starting with this phenomenal 20-year-old, super potent, very clean, perfect plant to start with. But I bet you go a little bit further. I bet you do a processing to make it different and to make it even more powerful. Because I was reading something like 7 times more absorbable. So what are you doing next?
There's a couple of things. Number
okay.
one, we talked about red at the beginning.
Yes.
The red come in.
Right.
So
there's red and white. Yeah.
So that's not based on species.
Oh. Okay.
Red and white has to do with how the ginseng is processed.
Uh-huh.
And so if you just pull out the root and dry it and put the powder in a capsule, that's white.
Okay.
But you don't get
raw.
Very much absorption. It's yeah, so you don't get very much absorption.
Okay.
But if you steam it, if you gently steam it, it helps with the release of some of those ginsenosides, so you get much better absorption.
Okay,
so
that's why. Yeah, that's why they were always talking about to drink the tea is better. Drink the tea is better because you were brewing it. So this is like a pre-brew.
Ginseng,
yeah.
Red
okay.
ginseng is much more powerful than white ginseng because of that.
Cool.
The second thing, though, is because there's 2 classes of ginsenosides.
Mm-hmm.
So ginsenosides are some of the best studied medicinal components in ginseng. They fall into 2 classes. One's called classic ginsenosides,
mm-hmm.
and they're large and not absorbable.
Okay.
And then there's a subgroup called rare noble ginsenosides.
Oh, for the nobles.
That's where,
right.
That's where you get all your medicinal activity.
Okay.
So when you take ginseng, because of its interactions with gut microbiome,
mm-hmm.
some of those, 1%, 2%, 3% of those classic ginsenosides get changed into rare noble ginsenosides, so there is some absorption.
So that happens in your digestive system?
It happens in your digestive system, but that's a very low percentage.
Okay.
And if an individual has problems with maybe not having the best microbiome in the world, they could have 0 conversion.
Yeah.
So the beauty of this, and the beauty of aged ginseng, is the older mm-hmm. the plant is, the more the ginsenosides are there in the rare noble form.
Okay.
So rare noble are easily absorbed and very powerful. So when we look at new process, this HRG80 red ginseng, mm-hmm. it has 7 times or 700% more noble ginsenosides than standard ginseng, and it is 17 times better absorbed because those noble ginsenosides are smaller and much easier for your intestines to grab hold of and absorb. So that's why I said this is a super-powered plant.
Wow, and yeah, it is, but you've got to be able to absorb it, and I know that I think they talk about nearly 300 different saponins, which are the basic compounds that are found. I think they've found about 112 in the Panax or Korean ginseng, and 80 of these are isolated and processed. And, I mean, we go into all kinds of, you know, peptides and polysaccharides and fatty acids. I mean, there's a lot. There is a lot just besides fiber. There's a lot in a ginseng plant. And, of course, the scientists, I think, are looking at, okay, what is the powerhouse here, and then how can we make that available? It sounds like you've done it. It sounds like you've found the you know that
I think that you've really hit on something
sweet
that's very
spot.
Important.
Yeah.
The ginseng that's on the market and has been on the market is an extract.
Uh-huh.
They extract ginsenosides from the ginseng.
Right.
The problem with that is you're not getting all of the compounds in the plant. You're missing some of the terpenes. You're missing the ginsengs. These are things that have very powerful, well, for example, ginsengs have very powerful anti-cancer activity.
And they work together. A synergy. We see that with everything. We see that with the curcumin. We see that with all, you know, the CBDs. You know, you need to have...
You need the whole family.
CBD, CBDA, CBDG. Yes.
Yeah.
It always is that way.
This is the same situation.
Okay.
And so,
This is not
extracted.
Wow.
This is the whole root. And that's important because you're getting compounds you don't get in any other ginseng product that works synergistically with the ginsenosides to provide these amazing health.
Cheryl, I'm getting excited about this. I am really I took some this morning.
Yes.
And I just feel, I can't say I feel 20 years younger, but I do feel a lot better. I can't wait because you said sometimes within 3 days to a couple weeks, I may be like 20 again. So you said that off air. That's not a fact. But
well,
look out.
Yep, I'm going to hear a report from you.
Yeah. Oh, you will.
But you know, some of the things that there's over 1,000 studies in PubMed looking at the health benefits of ginseng.
Oh, I know.
It modulates blood pressure and metabolism.
What all does it do?
It helps your immune system be stronger to fight off colds and flu.
Uh-huh.
It helps your immune system if you have the challenge of trying to deal with cancer or combat cancer.
Okay, now I read too that it enhances the potency of the flu vaccine, which I'm not a big proponent of. So obviously there's a lot of holistic immunity, so it can help your immune system with cancer and potentize your flu vaccine and overall reduce your incidence of colds and flus and all of that, which amazed me because I always think of ginseng as energy. I don't think it as an immune modulator, but
right.
It does a lot
it
of other things
does.
Too, which you're going to tell me about here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It also improves focus and attention and memory, and there's some studies that are being done looking specifically at helping people that have serious dementias like Alzheimer's disease to help improve focus and memory. So there's so many different ways that you can use this. Traditionally, it's also been used for recuperation, and it's brilliant for that. So let's say, just underwent cancer treatment, and you went through several rounds of chemotherapy, and you are depleted, and you are just feeling like something the cat's dragged in.
I've seen the cats do that.
Say that all the time. My grandma used to say, "I feel like something the cat's dragged in."
I got to tell you a real quick one. We had a dog that liked to lick everything. We had two dogs, and she would always lick the other dog's face and ears. We came in one day, and there was this poor little mouse in the middle of the floor. It had been licked to death. It was all soaked and just laying there. It was dead. And she had caught it
probably
and licked it.
Probably had a heart attack.
Yeah, probably.
There's an enormous amount of depletion that can happen with certain kinds of treatment.
Right.
And this helps people bounce back faster. It helps them also because often immunity is depleted.
Yes.
It also helps that immune system get back where it needs to be. People that are recovering from long-term chronic illnesses like Lyme's disease or Epstein-Barr, they have a lot of struggling to get that energy back. People that have been in a horrible car accident, they've been in the hospital, they've been through rehab.
Right.
People that have a lot of injury or illness need help with trying to restore them to health and vitality, and this is one of the very best ways that you can use this.
Sure, and I was reading it's also good for like the chronic fatigue syndrome.
In fact, there's a study that's starting in, I think it's in March.
There's been several, but there's more, because there was one with 90 patients for the idiopathic chronic fatigue. It was very effective for that, but there's another one.
Yes, there's one that started in February or March of in the spring, and I know that it's in design right now.
Wow.
The lead researcher is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, probably one of the world's foremost authorities on chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, wants to use this specific HRG80 red ginseng to achieve medicinal benefits for people that are struggling with this very devastating problem.
Mm.
And so there's so many different ways that you can use this, and including for energy. As I said, even people who have enough energy want more energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of this that I love about this is if you want energy from a cup of coffee, it's an artificial stimulation to give you a temporary boost of energy.
Mm-hmm. But you can kind of get jittery and everything, too, from the caffeine.
It can make you anxious. I know people can drink coffee because of their anxiety levels. It can cause insomnia.
Sure.
Ginseng does not do that. It's not an energy stimulant.
You just said something. You said insomnia because I'm reading that it helps with that. So it's a stimulant, but it also helps with increasing the non-REM, the deep sleep, influencing the REM and helping benefit a deeper sleep. That amazed me because usually energy herbs, tonic herbs, and so forth don't do that, but this one does.
Well, getting back to the caffeine analogy, so it stimulates your adrenals to pump out some hormones to give you a temporary boost of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that ginseng works, is it does not promote that. It fights against fatigue. So it's pushing in the other direction. It is pushing against fatigue. And so the end result, if you fight against fatigue and push it down, all of those things that are happening in your body that cause fatigue,
mm-hmm.
you have a natural increase in energy without the stimulation. So exactly as you said, you're not going to get jittery. You're not going to get anxious. You're not going to have trouble sleeping at night. In fact, this is something that increases energy and reduces stress and can help people have more deep and restful sleep at night.
Awesome. Well, I also hope that it helps with the lowering blood sugar and even menopausal symptoms, but we've got to talk about this other product. So how quickly this is, the serving on this is take one capsule daily, and you can increase it to twice daily. So this is the HRG 80 Red Ginseng Energy, 7 times stronger, ultra clean, awesome product. Now we have another one that's basically got this core in it for the energy and all of the things we talked about, but you've added a few more things, and it's for the basically the ED, the male sexual enhancement, and it has some very special, again, it's got 300 milligrams of the red Korean ginseng and some other things in there. Explain quickly how this one works.
Well, you know, men who have erectile dysfunction have a physiological problem that too often is turned into the, you know, tail end of a joke.
I mean, some of the
products that you see in stores and on the internet are very disrespectful.
Yeah.
If you have this problem, it interferes with a healthy sex life, and that's part of your health. So the way that this works is, number one, is with the ginseng, you get some activity from the plant that helps
the
free testosterone in its free form, which is where you want it to be. It also improves stamina, energy, strength. It also improves mood. Sometimes mood can get in the way.
Sure it can.
The other half of this equation is there's a botanical blend that's been clinically studied specifically for erectile dysfunction, and it includes apple and grape polyphenols and saffron.
Yes.
And its focus is on increasing nitric oxide production in the body. And you have to, nitric oxide is a component that causes relaxation of smooth muscle cells, the vasodilation of arteries, it increases blood flow, and allows the penis to completely fill with blood so that a gentleman can have an optimal erection. But it also has to support the vasoconstriction of the veins so that you keep, you improve the hardness score and the ability to maintain an erection for a period of time.
Wow.
So this blend was used in a clinical study of 94 men ages 45 and up, and they saw that at the beginning of the study, the average men who rated their hardness was about 10%, and after the end of 4 weeks of use was increased to 45% of those.
Wow.
You know, so that's huge increase.
Well, the polyphenols, too, help to, the way that works through the via nitro oxide helps to kind of reverse or slow down some of the breakdown products of your testosterone. So it also helps you to maintain the testosterone that you're making, too. So it's, I can't say it's a testosterone booster, but it definitely helps to diminish the breakdown and helps you to keep more of that. So it's a natural way. Hey, Cheryl, guess what?
We're out of time.
We are out of time, but real quickly, this one here, it's a serving is, it looks like, take 3 capsules daily, may take 1 capsule 3 times daily. Is this something that you could take before activity, or is it more of a long-term thing that you need
this
to do?
This is a long-term thing. This is not a product where you take it and go to a party. This is something when you have to rebuild. And
yes.
I would say give it 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay.
You're going to notice a huge
difference. I'll do that. All right, Cheryl. Hey, this has been great. Thank you for all the information.
Life just got a little better thanks to Merryman Earn.